£1 for the house. That's all we need, baby. One for the house.
Oh, oh, come on.
Pimp juice.
Welcome back to that 590 show. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph, the DJ extraordinaire, taking your requests. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the managing editor for Viva Albertos. You can follow him on Twitter at Craig J. Edwards. He also has a piece on ESPN.com about the Miami Marlins and whether or not they're really worth $1.3 billion to the next owner. Craig, how are you, sir? And thank you again for making time for us.
I'm doing pretty well. How are you guys?
Good. Now, unfortunately, I am not an ESPN insider, so I could not read the piece that you have at ESPN.com. But can you give us a quick synopsis of what basically what you were talking about?
Yeah, I think that anybody who pays too much attention to baseball and the Marlins in particular know that Jeffrey Loria hasn't been a particularly good owner down in Miami. You know, he's had payrolls, you know, down under $15 million for one season.
Yeah, he's despised.
Back. So it comes with a lot of sticker shock when you see, you know, potentially $1.3 billion for the Marlins. But, I mean, I think that it's a market that they've never really aggressively tried to harness. And it's a big city. It's got a lot of people who love baseball down there, but they really haven't been able to make it work. And part of that's just because they haven't spent the money for a decent team to win consistently. And I think that if they did that, they might see a lot more fan interaction than they've been getting. Obviously, you know, we saw the last few nights down in Miami that there weren't a whole lot of fans down there, but I think that there's a give and take relationship between the owners and the fans, and they both have to do their part.
And the fans that were there were trying to take their clothes off in order to distract Lance Lynn. I saw that too, with the women standing behind home plate, and one of them almost pulled her shirt all the way off. And I'm like, man, that thing only happens in Miami. You never see that happen in L.A. or New York, any place like that. It's only South Beach.
Yeah, there's a reason the Florida Man Twitter account took off.
And I'm with you on that too about why the Miami Marlins can't be a successful franchise. When you look at the demographic makeup of that area, I mean, you know, people from Cuba, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, all over the Caribbean, and I mean, that's the general makeup of a lot of Major League Baseball teams. It's almost nonsensical that this team can't flourish in South Florida. And I understand that, you know, like we were talking about with the payroll, that the one year that they did spend a lot of money on payroll, the players didn't work out. Well, what made it even worse is that you have Ozzie Guillen come in and talk about how much he loves Fidel Castro while the stadium is located in Little Havana.
Yeah, it makes for a pretty poor public relations. I got off to a bad start off the field and then on the field as well. Things didn't work out, and they had a big sell-off. And, you know, when you do that in the first year of a new stadium, it's tough to sort of win over fans when you've got that sort of history in it. And a new owner with a fresh start might be able to establish better relationships down there. And the most important thing is winning. You have to win. You know, there's, you know, 3 million or more people coming to Busch Stadium every year. And, you know, people love to talk about how great the fans for the Cardinals are, and they are fantastic. But if they were as bad as the Marlins were for as long as the Marlins were, there wouldn't be 3 million people out at Busch Stadium every season.
I agree with you 100%, and I've heard Dan Lebatard famously say, too, that the Florida Marlins / Miami Marlins lead Major League Baseball in children explaining, or in parents explaining to their crying children why their favorite player got traded away, because they do that a lot, too.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about Hanley Ramirez, Miguel Cabrera, those are two of the bigger stars that they've had, you know, in the past 10, 12 years that they decided they didn't want to keep around.
Going back to what you wrote today on VivaAlbertos.com about Michael Wacha, it looks like he is going to miss a start this weekend, and they're citing the reason for rest, and it sounds like this is a move that you agree with.
Yeah, I don't really see a problem with it. I mean, you remember back before spring training started, there was talk about Michael Wacha maybe going to the bullpen just because they didn't know how many innings they were going to get from him. He's pitched really well so far. You know, he's gone six innings in every single start. And there's no reason where you'd say, oh, there's something wrong where we need to give him rest. But the team's just being a little bit proactive at this point. Maybe, you know, he pitches one more start, you know, sometime in July and August than he would have been able to. And, you know, he usually sort of see this sort of situation with, you know, maybe a 22, 23-year-old. But given Waka's injury history, it makes a lot of sense to do this. You know, they've tried different things in the past, and nothing's really worked, you know, convincingly. So it doesn't hurt to try this. You know, the team will be fine without him for a start or two with all the off days they've got coming up. You know, it doesn't really hurt anything, and if it gives Waka a little bit of extra rest and strengthens his arm going forward, then it'll work out well.
I also find it kind of interesting that if this is a pitcher that you're going to want to depend on in the future, and you're already having to rest a player who was well under 30. You're already giving a spot rest start in May. Is this maybe they're hoping that he's going to build up his strength for later on in his career, or is this basically how he's going to be from now on? Eventually, every once in a while, you're going to have to give him a little bit of rest.
You know, I think that until he does it, I think this is the sort of situation that you're dealing with. If he finishes this season strong, you know, maybe he gets a few more starts skipped and gets up to, you know, 180 seasons and is actually pitching well into September and hopefully October, then at this point next season, you're saying, you know what, he's built his arm strength back up to the point where we can really count on him again going every 5 days and not really worry about it. But given the way last season ended and the year before, he sort of has to show that he's a guy that you know is going to be pitching later on in the season until he actually shows it. I think this is sort of the route you have to go.
Greg Edwards from Viva Alberto is joining us on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Craig J. Edwards, and of course read him at vivaalbertos.com. The Cardinals, they're you know, sweep the 6-game road trip, and I mean I know it, not exactly against stellar opponents in the Atlanta Braves and the Miami Marlins, but winning 6 games in a row is winning 6 games in a row. And considering this team at one point was 3-9 and looking like they may be just as bad as a lot of people were saying, you got to feel good about how they're playing right now.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, you even against lesser teams like the Braves and the Marlins, you'd view 2 out of 3 from each of those as a successful series to get the sweep on both teams. You know, it obviously shot them all the way up into first place, and sort of the way they won it of late, you know, coming back, the offense showing some spark, you know, some nice running on the bases, and they did it without hitting too many home runs, which, is a plus given that, you know, we know some players are going to hit a few more home runs as the season goes on and have shown that so far. I think that they sort of solidified a lineup, of late, but the injuries have sort of wreaked havoc in the outfield a little bit, but, you know, I think giving Colton Wong the job at second base and Jed Jorko the job at third base has really helped both of those players out, and it's helped the team out because they've hit well and fielded well, and they've helped put the Cardinals in a position to where those players are guys that you look at as more everyday starters than guys that you have real questions about.
It looks like you have an event coming up. It's called Pitch Talks. It's going to be at Del Mar Hall on May 18th. It's going to be you, Ben Hockman, Derek Gould, Drew Silva, Jen Longosh, Rick Hummel, Chris Arabi, Brad Thompson, and Jesus Ortiz. Tell us about that event.
Yeah, it's a bunch of heavy hitters in the St. Louis area and me. It'll be a great time. There's going to be a couple different panels, it'll just be a bunch of people who love baseball, who care about baseball, and are very, very knowledgeable about the Cardinals, interacting, going back and forth, and just having a conversation. And, I've done one of these in Chicago before, and it's a really great time, and I would encourage anybody who is free next Thursday to look into it and get tickets to it. It is an off day for the Cardinals, so no game on Thursday night, and the Blues are no longer in the playoff picture. So
you got to bring that up, don't you? You got to bring that up, don't you, Edwards?
Excuses not to go.
You can get the tickets at homestandsports.com. And is this kind of like a panel where you take questions from the people who were there, or is it just kind of like a cocktail party? Everybody's just kind of hanging out, and you're like, oh, hey, you know, there's Craig Edwards. I got a question I want to ask him, and they just mosey up to you.
You know, I think there might be some time before and after for, you know, meet and greet, mingling, that sort of thing. As far as the panels go, it'll be, you know, everybody will be up on stage, and, you know, usually there's time at the end for some audience questions as well, so people can, you know, ask the questions that are pressing on their mind, and we'll see exactly what that will be in 1 week after they finish up this series with the Cubs and have another tough two games with the Red Sox.
Now, you said you've competed or you've participated in one of these before, correct?
Yeah, okay. I did one last September up in Chicago.
Okay, what's
that
like
was
the?
With,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I said, what's the strangest? What's the strangest question that anybody has asked you, or you've heard somebody ask the panel, where you're like, "What? What was that again?"
Well, I think that you know, last season in Chicago, you know, everybody was pretty stoked about the Cubs, but also freaking out about their playoff chances. And at the time, it certainly seemed like someone was trying to buy Dave Cameron's Cy Young vote for Kyle Hendricks when they were asking him about his opinion on who he should vote for the Cy Young.
Craig Edwards, we appreciate your time. Good luck with the event next week. Like I said, that is going to be Pitch Talks. It's going to be at Del Mar Hall on May 18th. You can get tickets at homestandsports.com. How much are the tickets? Do you know what the price range is offhand?
It's either $20 or $25.
Okay, so they're
fairly also
reasonable.
Through Del Mar Hall's website.
Okay.
As well. So.
Great stuff.
And you can actually... I'll see if I can find the link. If you've got 10 more seconds, you can buy me. There's a chance to win free tickets.
Oh, okay.
Which people might be interested, I'm guessing. So, let's see. You know what? I'll just send that over to your Twitter account. You can tweet that out.
Sounds good. That's what I'll do. Thanks, Craig.
All right. Thank you.
That is Craig Edwards, the managing editor of VivaAlbertos.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Craig J. Edwards. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by J.J. Bailey, lead baseball writer for KMOV.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.